This podcast was created on Messy. Create your own show today at messy.fm.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second episode of the Orlando City Supporter Conclusions podcast, hosted by myself, Gavin Rushnell. Today, we will be discussing our disappointing 1-0 loss to our hated rivals, Atlanta United. From rants to riches, a fan's perspective of Orlando City Soccer Club. After today's disappointing loss, I really just want to get straight into the game. That's where most of my thoughts originate, and so that's where I just want to really get most of my content out there from the actual game itself, especially this one, as there was a lot to talk about in this game. So first, I'm going to start with the lineup. I do believe O'Connor got it correct. He started with DeJohn, who, in my opinion, is our best defender. He also started with Higuita, who had a class game today. I was a bit nervous about Miller, a rookie in our back three. It was also nice to see no question in the entire squad, no Sané in the entire squad. And as any big Orlando City fan knows who's probably listening to this podcast, they were both left out for sporting reasons rather than injuries. James O'Connor came out when asked about it and said he kept them out for sporting reasons. And then Nani was injured. Nani would have played a big, big role in this game if he was here. We probably could have won this game if Nani was on the field. Unfortunately, he wasn't. He has a calf injury. No, there's nothing you can do about that. It's been a long, long season for him. It will continue to be a long season. And I think season two is where he will really, really, really come into his own and play a massive role in this team. Maybe even upwards of Vela levels in terms of almost ownership of a team from a star or Zlatan maybe. After he has like a good break and hopefully next season he will take charge of this team. I mean, hopefully this season, Nani will take charge of this team, of course. But if it's not going to be this season, I think next season is the season after he has a great long break between the MLS season. Also, on to the Atlanta United lineup. Villalba started like I thought he would in the last episode. Shea was actually on the bench, so I was wrong about that one, but it was still an extremely strong lineup, which, you know, I'm not surprised about at all. Starting my game notes off, we start all the way in the second minute. I know, super far into the game. Dwyer gets an opportunity. He gets a great opportunity. He gets put right in front of goal on his left foot, not that hard of an angle, and he slices his shot. What the hell? How do you slice that shot? He's not looking at the ball. He's like looking up, I'm pretty sure, and he just whiffs it. And, you know, the best players do whiff sometimes, the best players do miss, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, 2 minutes into a game, you're fresh, you've been warming up, you've been taking shots in warm-up as a striker. Take that ball, put your laces through it, and make Guzan make a save. Instead, he puts it top left, a mile away, and misses a golden opportunity to start the game off on a fantastic note. Next, I kind of noticed really early on, a lot of our players were slipping. We had 4 or 5 player slips, and that's because of the wet turf. I was actually near Atlanta on Sunday. I went up to go to a cousin's graduation from college, and yeah, it was raining all day. And so it was definitely wet turf. It wasn't actually raining on the pitch, but the turf was wet, and turf makes players slip already. I've played on turf before. We slip when we're on turf. But now that it was wet, players were flying all over the place. We could have had 2 or 3 opportunities if it wasn't for the slips on the turf. And we still had opportunities. We had amazing opportunities early on in the game. We just did not capitalize on them as has been for the last 2 games. In my opinion, this is my opinion, might be unpopular. I think MLS should force Atlanta to get rid of their turf. I think it gives them an unfair advantage as they play at home, so they play most of their games on the turf. A lot of other teams in this league don't play on turf. And because of that, I think it's kind of easier to play and easier to score against opponents who don't usually use turf because they're so used to it and the ball moves so quickly. I think Atlanta gets an unfair advantage from playing on turf. But that's just my thought. I think MLS should force them. I think MLS should force everybody to have the same kind of field and the same kind of same grass, you know, just for fairness. Like, and then in terms of field size, like, I don't even know how NYCFC got allowed into this league on Yankee Stadium, because that's a crime. That is criminal for players to play on that small of a pitch on a professional soccer team. They need to fix that very soon. Anyways, that rant is over. Let's get started now. Next is the 13th minute. Atlanta United score kind of out of nothing. They kind of score out of nothing. They kind of kick the ball up. DeJohn overcommits. And after that, we were out of position. Now, usually in a three-back system, if one of your center backs overcommits, you're fine. You still have two center backs back there. That's kind of the point. One of your center backs is allowed to overcommit. DeJohn overcommits, but the rest of our center backs were out of position. And, you know, it just shows the difference in quality. You know, if it was 2v2 for us, we wouldn't have scored that goal. It was a class strike from PT Martinez. That's about the only good thing he did in the game. I mean, that just shows the difference in quality. I think we had three decent chances to maybe have a shot on goal in the first couple minutes, first 10 minutes before this goal. And then they have their first real chance and it's in the back of the net. And so, yeah, it's just there's a difference in quality. There are levels. There is Orlando City and then there is Atlanta United. And Atlanta United is well above Orlando City. Orlando City has the pieces to be as good as Atlanta United. Atlanta United don't have amazing pieces. They have hard-working pieces. Gressel, Parkhurst, Villalba. They are all hard-working players. And, you know, we have hard-working players. We just need to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But, yeah, that's just the difference in quality. The difference in quality is that they scored off their one attack and we didn't score off our attacks. On to the 24th minute, Atlanta United break through, get around Rowe, and Miller saves a goal. Miller did good and bad on this play. Obviously, the good saves the goal, but he had to make up for his own mistake. I don't know what he's doing allowing, was it Villalba? I don't know what he's doing allowing Villalba on the inside of him. And then he's running like he thinks Villalba is going to take him out wide. He has to be either goal side or just don't run that way, run the other way. Run towards him. I mean, it's a great through ball. I don't remember who put the through ball in. But Miller makes up for his own mistake because I don't know what his positioning was. Like, he was running away from the play almost. He thinks that Villalba's taking him out wide, and he's not. Villalba's just running straight. So I don't know what Miller's doing, but luckily makes up for his own mistake and saves a goal, really saves a goal. On to the 32nd minute, Dwyer missed another sitter. Great, 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 great play by everybody involved, minus Dwyer. DeJohn with a beautiful pass through the lines to Juan. Juan puts a inch-perfect cross that Dwyer can get and nobody else can get. And Dwyer kicks it straight at Guzan. Take nothing away from what Guzan did. He made himself big. He jumped across the goal. Fantastic goalkeeping. Any professional goalie would be proud of that save. But Dwyer hits it right at him. All he has to do is hit it near post. All he has to do is direct it near post on goal. Get it away from Guzan. Instead, he kind of whiffs it again and it goes straight at Guzan. It, just grinds my gears how a player of Dwyer's quality is going through such a rut. How many games does he have to miss sitters before he starts scoring for us? Before he will be benched? There is no possible way O'Connor starts in next game. Against Seattle? No possible way. Mueller came on and did too good. Coleman came on and did too good. There's no possible way he starts with Dwyer next game. And if he does, like, something's going on. They're having like a love affair or something, because no matter how many times Dwyer misses chances, James O'Connor still seems to start him. And I think this is the final straw, especially after being subbed off for Mueller. You know, usually he subs Akindele off for Mueller, but this time he subbed Dwyer off, and he could see that Dwyer wasn't going to score this game. So yes, I don't think he's going to start Dwyer against Seattle. That was my last note of the half. So now we're going to talk about the three best players of the half. Higuita, Johnson, and Miller were my top three. Miller for making up for his own mistake, as well as saving that goal. Obviously, that was a big point in the game. Worst three players of the half, Dwyer, Mendez, and DeJohn, only for overcommitting on the goal. I thought DeJohn had a pretty solid half, to be honest, but when you overcommit and it leads to a goal, gotta give you an X on that one. For the first half review sentence, I said another half of good offensive chances ends in zero goals. And that's true. That's three halves now where we've had very good chances to put the ball in the back of the net, and we haven't. And we really need to start putting our shooting boots on, and we really need to score. On to the second half. 51st minute, Atlanta put the ball in the back of the net through a nutmeg of Brian Rowe. But VAR comes in and says, nope, you were offside. VAR was correct. He was clearly offside. But, you know, come on. Rowe cannot be getting nutmegged from there. Like, that is ridiculous. Hopefully that never, ever, ever happens again. He got caught flat-footed. At the end of the day, I don't think he was really expecting a shot, and he got flat-footed. And the ball ended up in the back of the net. We are extremely lucky that, was it Villalba who was offsides? I can't remember. Somebody was offsides, and they put a good cross in, and they took, like, a first-time shot. And it nutmegs Rowe, and that cannot happen. The 57th minute, the sub happens. Smith comes on for DeJohn, and that, just like everybody probably thinks, was premeditated. DeJohn's been injured for a little bit, you know, give him a 60-minute run out against a very good team and then take him off. I was fine with that. DeJohn had a good game, in my opinion, other than his him overcommitting for the ball and missing it on the goal. And then Smith comes on, who I personally think, this is an unpopular opinion as well, Smith is a very solid defender. I think Smith is an extremely solid defender. The way we ended the game with Huan at right wing and Smith at right back, I would love to start like that every game. I think Smith is a great defender, and I think Huan is a great attacker. And I would have no problem if we started next game in a 4-3-3 with Huan at right wing, Mueller down the middle, or Akindele down the middle. And if Nani can come, Nani on the left, or maybe Mueller on the left, or something like that. I would love, love, love to see Huan given an attacking role. 64th minute, as we talked about earlier, Mueller comes on for Dwyer, and Dwyer looked fucking pissed. He looked so pissed. He was slamming his foot into the ground, taking his shirt off, throwing it around. And I think it's a combination of getting subbed off and missing chances. A lot of fans have been having a little debate about which one they think it is. I think it's a little bit of both. I think he's pissed that he missed chances. As a striker, I am a striker. As a striker, I'd be pissed about missing those chances. I remember I had one game. I scored a hat trick the game before, and the next game I couldn't score for my life. I had like 12 shots, 7 on goal, and I hit the post 3 times, and I just could not score. I remember coach subbed me off. I was furious. I was so mad, because I wanted to stay in the game and I wanted to put the ball in the back of the net. At the end of the day, I just had to assist. I was literally 1-on-1 on goal and I knew I wouldn't score, so I just passed it to my friend and he scored. And it was just like, those games happen. I understand that those games happen. You miss chances sometimes, and it pisses you off when you have to come off. But at the end of the day, you cannot keep having games like that. Dwyer cannot keep having games like this. I think he just needs to take a second. He needs to take a break. That's what he needs to do. He just needs to take a two-game break, get his shooting boots back on, and come back and be pivotal for the rest of the season. Again, the next thing I have written down is a sub, 77th minute, Coleman on, Higuita off. It was a good offensive switch, I think, like for like. Higuita was playing center attacking mid. Coleman went on as a center attacking mid. The only thing is we were chasing the game by that point, and I think maybe Mendes should have come off. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about it, and I feel Mendes should have come off for Coleman and then put Higuita back. But then that might have left us open, and we probably would have gone 2-0 down. So I don't know. Maybe that was a fine switch. Plus, you know, Higuita has been playing a ton, as we all know. So maybe he's not game fit for a full 90. 77, I thought, was kind of long for him. And, you know, I thought he had a fantastic game. I was very happy with Higuita's performance. And I really hope James O'Connor looks at this as Higuita could be my starting attacking mid. He defended from the front. How many times have we seen that ever as an Orlando City fan, a player defending from the front in the midfield? I mean, Kaká was our center attacking mid, and then it was Clutchton. Both very good players technically, and Kaká worked his ass off all the time for us, but he's slow. Clutchton's slow. It's hard to defend from the front when you're slow like that. They were more here for their technical ability. Higuita, fast, can play a pass, works hard, has passion for the team, defends from the front. He's got it all. I hope James O'Connor sees this and sees, well, you know what? He could be my starting attacking mid and just have him defend from the front for the first 50, 60 minutes and then throw Coleman, throw Clutchton on somebody to make a difference. And that would be a great tactic, in my opinion. If we could get to the 60th minute, 0-0, and then throw on Mueller or Coleman to make an impact against Seattle, I would be ecstatic. I would love that. I hope he does that. 85th minute, Juan skies a ball from 3 yards out. It's as simple as that. Great chance again. We get a cross over to Juan. Was it from the left side? Moutinho maybe put the... No, I can't remember. But all I know is Juan is within 3 yards of the goal. He slides for the ball, and he skies it. And, just another chance gone over the bar. We can't keep missing chances like this. I know a lot of people want to blame Dwyer, and a lot of it falls on Dwyer as he's the one who gets the most chances. But the whole team is missing chances at the end of the day. The whole team is missing chances. And Juan showed that to us at the end of the game. The game ends 1-0. Again, my three best players of the half. Higuita, Mueller, who came on and I think made a really good impact on the game. And Moutinho, who also had a good half. The three worst players, Mendes, he didn't really do much. Juan for missing that chance. And I thought Janssen was the third worst player. But like, I think Janssen was just quietly sturdy. So the only reason I have him as the third worst player is just because he's like, he didn't really do, or you didn't really see him do much. He had a couple tackles, couple blocks. He was just quietly sturdy in this game. Janssen. My main takeaways from the game, this is something new I want to start doing, have a couple takeaways from the game. The first one, I have it as Rowe growing in confidence. And I think Rowe is growing in confidence. He has had a good couple of games recently, making some big saves for us. I'm pretty sure he has the most saves in the league right now, which is not a good stat to have, but it also is a good stat to have. It shows our defense sucks and our goalie's kind of good. That's what it shows. But and he's growing in confidence in his starting role. And I'm glad he is, as he has really turned the corner as a goalkeeper. And I think the fans are starting to warm up to the idea of him being our goalkeeper for a little bit. Next, Dwyer needs a break. That's so true. It's my second takeaway. Dwyer needs a break. He's obviously frustrated. He's obviously not scoring goals. He's not even contributing in terms of hold up play and energy. He really isn't. He's just been poor on that note. And so I think he needs a break. He needs to sit down for a couple games, two games, sit on the bench, not see the field, and just, you know, practice on shooting, realize that he's going to be, I just want James O'Connor to look at him and be like, look, I'm going to give you a two game break. And you're going to come back and you're going to be important for this team for the rest of the season. And that's that. So hopefully he can do that. Will that happen? Probably not, but that's what I want. The third takeaway, this team can be a playoff team. All we have to do is finish our chances. We have already stopped our defensive mistakes. If you haven't realized, the last four or five games, we haven't really had any massive defensive errors that have led to goals. Not that I can really think of. But so we stopped our defensive mistakes. All of a sudden, we stopped scoring. We went from defensive meltdowns against Colorado and still winning 4-3 to turning around to losing 1-0 to Atlanta, 2-0 to Toronto on two kind of weird goals. I mean, it's good. We're defending much better this season than we were last season, and much better this season than we have in the first part of this season, around the present time to the past, the first like four, five, six games. So this team can be a playoff team. Once we start finishing our chances and putting the ball in the back of the net, I have no problem with seeing this. I can see this team as a playoff team if we were to start finishing our chances. On to player ratings. We're going to start off with Rowe. Rowe gets a 7 out of 10. He thought he was fantastic today. If that second goal was allowed and he got nutmegged, he would have been a 5 out of 10. Just average, because he had a good game overall, but letting in a nutmegged goal would be terrible. I'm still not happy that he did, but it didn't count. So it's the VAR kind of saved him there. Puan gets a 5 out of 10. Janssen, 5 out of 10. DeJean, 5 out of 10. Miller, 5 out of 10. And Moutinho, 6 out of 10. Moutinho was the best attacking threat between the two halfbacks, him and Juan. And then just the back line was average. I mean, like, they did their job. They did their job well, but they just didn't seem to do great individually. I think they worked good as a system, and I was happy to see that. I would love to see this system implemented in a lot of games. Janssen, DeJean, Miller, or just Janssen and DeJean, if we wanted to do a 4-3-3. And I thought they did great as a system. They covered each other. When one person had a mistake, they either made up for it or somebody else did. And so, yeah, they all get averages because none of them were completely stellar, but they all had good games. Next, Janssen, 6 out of 10, worked his ass off in midfield. Mendes, 4 out of 10. Higuita, 7 out of 10. He was my man of the match. Thought he had the best game out of everybody, especially in the circumstances. He hasn't played all season. All of a sudden, he gets the starting role. And he comes on and does amazing, in my opinion. He came on and showed the coach that he can start. He can start games. He deserves to start games, in my opinion. And he better not go back to the bench for the next five games. I don't want to see it. I want to see him on that field. We all do. Dwyer, 1 out of 10. Didn't really bring any hold-up play. Didn't really bring any goals. Missed chances, 1 out of 10. Akindele, 5 out of 10. Akindele is providing Dom's hold-up play and energy. You know, the biggest argument for people right now is, well, Dom brings hold-up play. Dom brings energy. And that was my argument at the start of this streak of rough games. Now Dom's not even offering that, and Akindele is. So we can afford to bench Dom. Akindele has really stepped up these last couple games in his work rate, in his hold-up play, in his energy. And it's been great to see. The first couple games, he was kind of slow. He didn't really do anything. But these last couple, he's been all over the place. It's great to see him. I think he's growing in confidence now that he's really cemented a starting role under James O'Connor. And I think I would love to see this exact lineup with Mueller as the other striker against Seattle. I would either like to see the 4-3-3 with Juan at right wing and like Mueller at left wing, left striker kind of, or I would like to see Akindele and Mueller against Seattle in the same exact lineup in the 3-5-2, and just Dwyer on the bench. Dwyer does not deserve to start that game. As for the subs, Smith had a 5 out of 10. As I said earlier, he is extremely good defensively. Mueller, 7 out of 10, came on, impacted the game, made some good dribbles. And, you know, I think he almost had a goal. He had a couple shots get blocked. But, oh, yeah, he had that one chance where they gave us the ball. And the defender came in with a last-second tackle. So, yeah, I thought Mueller impacted the game well. And Coman, 6 out of 10, came on, did nothing wrong. Would love to see him start, but would personally love to see Higuita start in that role and have him come off the bench. To finish off the episode, I do want to do a quick preview of the next game. We play Seattle Sounders at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Let me just check and make sure that's correct. I'm almost positive it is. Yes, Wednesday, tomorrow, this episode's coming out Tuesday. Wednesday, 10:30 p.m. Extremely late game. I'm going to be working all day. I am going to be awake, and hopefully I'll have a podcast out Thursday or Friday. As for Seattle, in insanely good form, they just beat a high-flying Houston team 1-0. They lined up in a 4-2-3-1 with Stefan Frey in goal, Leerdam, Torres, Kihi, and Smith from right to left. Dilem Roldan in the two. And Roldan has scored two screamers recently, back-to-back games. Let's hope it's not three games in a row. Jordan Morris, Lodeiro, and Rodriguez across the front three. And then Rui Diaz as striker. Morris, Lodeiro, and Rui Diaz could have a field day against us. If we don't step up our defense, and like I think we have had good defense recently, but if we don't step it up and really keep them narrow, then we're going to have a problem. Morris and Rodriguez thrive on the wings and getting crosses into Rui Diaz, and they all switch up. Lodeiro, you could find him on the right mid, Morris in the middle, Rodriguez stays out at left sometimes, and just they all swap and interchange, and they love to put crosses in, and they could have a field day against us because we struggle with crosses. We struggle big time with crosses. So, you know, I'm hoping we can keep them narrow. And I'm hoping James O'Connor looks at that as a tactic to keep them narrow. Don't let them out wide. Keep them in the middle. And hopefully we can win this game like that. In terms of their defense, Torres would be their weak link. I would focus on him with Nani if Nani is fit. And Coman or Higuita if he isn't. As they're both tricky players, Coman and Higuita. If Higuita does start, I would focus Higuita on attacking Torres. I think he is the weak link along that back four. Also, sometime between when our flight lands in Seattle to the game, I really want James O'Connor to get a freaking shooting practice in. I think he needs to set up just a 2v2 drill. Two defenders in the box, and then two attackers, and just maybe put crosses in or have them battle to score or something, because we just need to practice our finishing our chances. And I think if there's a 2v2 in the box in practice, and we're putting crosses in and one-touch shots, and I just think we need a shooting practice. Obviously, he's going to go over system and stuff for the game, and I'm fine with that. But James O'Connor really needs to put in a shooting practice with these guys because they are not finishing well at all. As for my prediction, I think if we can finish our chances on goal, unlike the Toronto and Atlanta game, we can come out of here with a 2-2 draw. Seattle are fantastic offensively. They are great defensively, especially Kim Keehee. He has been fantastic for them recently. But if we can finish our chances that we've been creating, we can come out of here with a tie and maybe sneak a late win off a set piece or something. Kind of like how we snuck that tie a couple years ago in that 1-1. That just about wraps up the episode, guys. Just want to say thank you for listening. You know, if you're listening to this, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that big time. I've just now started podcasting. I do really enjoy it. I was doing YouTube match reviews under the handle Greatest Marks, all one word, kind of like the last name Karl Marx. Greatest Marks is my YouTube. And I was doing match reviews on that, but instead of having to sit in front of the camera, figured I would just sit behind the mic. I am also thinking of starting a Twitter soon. So if you guys do listen to this, you can share your thoughts with me. I don't even own a Twitter for my personal use. So I would have to start a Twitter for this podcast, which I think I am going to do soon. I think I am going to start a Twitter so you guys can voice your opinions about my opinions. And we can talk about Orlando City together. But all in all, thank you so much for listening. And I will see you all Thursday or Friday after the Seattle game. Hopefully, we can sneak a win. Bye, guys.